Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. May I introduce your speaker for today, Michael Simon. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the most recent webinar and a continuing series from Ket NMS LLC. I'm Mike Simon from Deloitte, the chair of the operating committee. We have an agenda today to start with recent SRO activities, move on to cybersecurity, PII, and spend most of our time talking on issues that are most relevant to the industry members. After the presentation, the webinar and the materials will be posted on the Ket NMS website. If you have any questions, please submit them through the webinar. At the end of the presentation, there'll be an opportunity and we'll answer as many questions as we can get to. With that, I'll turn it over to Cindy Rederer, our lead person from NASDAQ.
All right, thanks, Mike. I want to update you on the recent SRO activity. The primary thing that's going on, you know, right now as we speak is we are, you know, deep into UAT testing. It began in the middle of July and it continues today, and is slated to go through the end of October. The focus has been on testing both the ingestion as well as the linkage functionality. The linkage functionality creates the order life cycles, as well as demonstrating the query functionality once the data is processed. On September 26th, the participants submitted to the SEC a request for exemption from the requirement to enforce compliance by its members with rules that require the industry members, other than small members, to record and report data to the central repository by November 15th of 2018, as well as an exemption for the small industry members to record and report data to the central repository on November 15th of 2019. We are working with ThesisCat, the industry group, as well as the advisory committee toward the first phase of reporting, which begins in November 2019. With that, I will pass it on to the CISO of ThesisCat, Vas Rajan.
Thank you, Cindy. At the last update on security at a previous industry webinar, we discussed the pending system security plan, which was completed and submitted and approved by the operating committee of CAT NMS. That system security plan, in accordance with the actual CAT NMS plan, is aligned with several standards, including primarily NIST SP 853, and that covers facets of cybersecurity applicable to the design, development, and operation of the CAT. It does cover all NIST control families, has over 250 controls selected, and is managed by an internal governance, risk, and compliance team, which manages continuous monitoring of the controls. Separately, we are beginning an independent verification and validation exercise of the security controls by an expert third party, which was selected after an RFP and contracted with CAT NMS, the output of which will support their go or no-go decision regarding the security of the CAT prior to go live. That vendor, RSM, is a national leader in providing IT risk and security and privacy services to clients in a variety of organizational sizes and industries. They are, in addition, a certified Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, or FedRAMP, third-party assessment organization. Lastly, a business continuity disaster recovery plan was submitted and runbooks were submitted, and we will be conducting a tabletop exercise in the first week of November to validate that. With that, over to Shelley Boland for an update on PII.
Thanks, Bob. So with respect to PII, there has been considerable focus and analysis given the sensitivity of the data. And as everyone is probably aware, the CAT NMS plan, as written and approved, requires the creation of a customer and account database. And through collection of that data, the creation of a unique CAT customer ID so that a single customer can be identified across broker-dealers and across accounts within a single broker-dealer. And part of the information required to create such a CAT customer ID includes the Social Security number, tax ID, and date of birth. So in an effort to minimize the amount of information to the level of sensitivity that Social Security numbers are in CICAT. The participants have been carefully evaluating different alternatives to the plan requirement, which would include the capture and storage of the Social Security number. So on October 5th, the operating committee, after much analysis and conversation with the industry, approved a recommendation to move forward with an approach that would essentially implement the plan as approved, with the exception that Social Security number would not be maintained by the plan processor, but instead would be hashed or masked through some other means that is being worked through by the participants in conjunction with discussion with industry experts in the security space, but that would still result in the ability to create a unique CAT customer ID, like I mentioned, that would allow for the identification of a single customer across broker-dealers. So we'll move on to the next slide. And what we wanted to do is just touch quickly on where we are with the detailed timelines that we had discussed in prior calls. The focus in the immediate term is on phase 2A, which is the equity, first leg of the equity reporting for industry members. And we had a number of dates that have come up over the last 2 months that started with providing detailed scope, a mapping of OATS interpretive guidance to CAT, publication of the first draft spec for industry comment, publication of a field mapping, and then getting industry feedback that then we could incorporate. So all of the dates that we had previously announced, we have met. So we are now working towards the publication of the final spec on October 30th. That will be for the Equity 2A. We'll also include Phase 2B, which is the first leg of the options scope and simple electronic options orders. And then the rest of the dates will move into next year when we actually open tests and go live. So that's the status of where we are right now. So we do plan to publish on October 30 the final spec. So with that, we did publish recently an update to the spec that had a few additional components to it from what was on September 5th, and Todd Golub from Thesis CAT is going to walk us through that.
Thank you, Shelley. As many of you are aware, CAT published, as Shelley also said, an updated draft of the industry member specifications version 0.7 on October 5th. While it will come up later in the presentation, let me take this opportunity to share that the latest versions of the specifications are always available on catnmsplan.com. Back to version 0.7, we've made a number of changes in response to industry member feedback. I'd like to personally thank you on behalf of CAT for your valuable input. And now going through the items on the slide. I'll try not to take up too much time here, but I do think there are a couple of things worth focusing on. Several updates have been made in regard to submissions, feedback, and corrections, including the ability to have one metadata file to many event submission files, corrections from multiple event files in a single correction file, feedback and corrections in the same format they are being submitted in other words, CSV in and CSV out, and a firm entered record indicator that could be submitted by firms on their individual event records. In addition, we've added in some additional examples for failure codes and the types of feedback files CAT will provide. Next, we've had a number of questions about the meaning of trading day and how it relates to business day and calendar day, as well as submission deadlines. We've added some clarification in this updated spec. Likewise, we've added some additional clarifications based on some frequently asked questions, as you can see on the slide. I don't know if I need to go through them. You can certainly see them here. We hope the latest draft has provided the industry with greater clarity on how to report to CAT as we work towards the October 30th publication of version 1.0. Again, thank you for your input and continued assistance in the spec development process. With that, I'll hand to Judy McDonald from Susquehanna to talk about the next set of IM Tech Spec working group discussions.
Thank you, Todd. The industry member tech spec working group continues to be a very active group and is certainly supported by even more work by the industry trade associations. So since our last webinar. The group has met 13 times, including 3 in-person meetings. We've focused on the areas that are most important to the industry and most important for finalizing the spec on October 30th. Many of these are complex topics, and we've had multiple discussions that have evolved over time. The most critical topics, and these are well reflected in the updates that Todd provided, have been on error correction and file submissions, representative orders, manual events, refining the scope for Phase 2B, and FDIDs. We will continue to have discussions on the topics listed. Again, Mint will touch on those and finalize our recommendations. And even beyond October 30th, we have meetings framed and scheduled to address testing and representative orders in Phase 2C. These meetings have helped formulate issues, created shared understanding, and have motivated changes to the spec in significant ways. Thanks to everyone who's participated and shared their knowledge and expertise. With that, I will hand it back to Shelley.
Thanks, Judy. So the next slide, we wanted to just highlight some recent interpretive FAQs that we have been approved by the operating committee and published on CATNMS. And many of these questions and issues that we're addressing through these FAQs have come through the discussions Judy just talked about and a lot of the very important input and conversation that we've been able to have with the industry groups. So some of the topics, if you go to the NMS plan webpage, and Todd's going to talk about how where specifically you look, you can see the specific questions. But the topics that we've addressed have been firm designated ID. There's a number of questions around that topic, fractional shares, how that will be reported, the products that are in scope for CAT, which basically is talking about what kind of securities listed and unlisted and where there might be things that are not included under the plan. Some information and questions about if a non-OAST industry member wanted to report early on a voluntary basis, whether that would be allowed, it would be. There's a question regarding reporting agents. There was concern or a question about whether a reporting agent could start reporting on behalf of a CAT reporter without their knowledge, and that is absolutely not possible. There's entitlements and agreements that have to be in place. There's a question to address that. There is a question that we just published this morning clarifying the options 2B scope and defining what electronic receipt or routing means, and this came through conversations with the industry and we'll continue to have conversations in this area, but hopefully this FAQ will help provide some additional clarity around what specifically is meant by an electronic simple options order. There is a question addressing OTC equity securities and in particular quotes that are displayed or sent to a foreign exchange. And that the answer to that is we will be handling it in the same way that we handle transactions that go to a foreign market that have no footprint in the U.S. In line with where we have been with OTC today, so those would not be reportable. And then finally, clarification on the equity leg of a complex order and what has to be reported in 2A. And those equity legs have been part of OATS for quite some time. So to facilitate OATS retirement, they must be there for 2A. So we provide a little bit of information there about how those get reported. And that point up that will, in fact, change in 2D when the complex order, including the options piece of it, becomes reportable. So we continue to work through issues through the interpretive working group where we consider these questions, formulate a response, then take it to the operating committee for a vote where it must be approved before it can be published. And any question, follow-up question on any of these FAQs can be directed to the CAT help desk, and that help desk will ensure that the question gets to the appropriate party from the participant side of it. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Todd, who can talk a little bit about how to navigate through the website and where to find this information.
Thanks, Shelley. So first item up, not surprising, would be the FAQs. On the website in the top banner, you'll see there are now 3 separate categories of FAQs. We have the general, the interpretive FAQs that Shelley was just referring to that are continuously being updated, and then what we put up, I'd say maybe 4 weeks ago or so, we have the OATS FAQ to CAT mapping. Again, these are on, I guess I should have said the website, is catnmsplan.com, and you can see at the top banner the FAQs. If you go on to the next slide, please. Thank you. Also, of course, pertinent information, as I said, I'd be mentioning it again. The technical specifications also has its own place at the top banner. On that page, you can see not only the industry member technical specifications, most recent version, but the participant technical specifications as well, those being the specifications being used by the SROs to report into CAT. In addition to the industry member specs, it's also worth pointing out we put some other information on this page specific to the specifications. As you can see, we had a CAT alert that went out, as well as some OATS events field level mapping. So there'll be information that's added on here. We'll put CAT alerts here as need be that are pertinent to the specifications themselves. Next slide, please. Thank you. And lastly, we've given a lot of information here. We keep talking about where it is on the website, and we have these webinars. It might be good to know when this information actually gets posted, when the webinars are happening. And we do have an email subscription that you can sign up for. So in the bottom banner of the CAT NMS plan website, you'll see a subscribe link take you to the page that's showing right here. If you sign up, you will be receiving alerts as they are sent out. Please understand that they don't go out all the time, but only when something is posted to the website. So when that information is there or becomes available on the website, you will be notified of it as soon as possible. And then I think there's one more slide, please. Then lastly, the help desk that I believe Shelley mentioned as well. You can see here the contact information for this help desk. We have emails, phone numbers available for 9 to 5 on weekdays only. And the topics available are the topics you might expect, how to navigate the website, if there are media relations that are calling in, the go-live dates, similar to the scoping that we've just been talking about, if there are any changes to that, specifications, publications, anything about what it means to be a CAT user, system security, and billing when that becomes an item to be discussed. Again, all these things are available on catnmsplan.com. I would like to thank you, and I will hand it back to Mike Simon.
Very, very good, Todd. Thank you very much. That's the end of our presentation. Now is the time to enter any questions that you have. We'll be happy to try to answer them. At the moment, we have only one question, which is a good segue from the last discussion. The question is who to contact if there are any questions on the industry member tech specs. I'll hand that over to Shelley to answer.
Sure. Thanks, Rick. As Todd just went over, it would be the help desk. Reach out to them, and they will ensure that the question gets to the appropriate party depending on the topic, what the question is about. So please either email or call with all the information Todd just presented.
Okay, that continues to be the only question that we have. We'll wait one moment or two here to see if we get anything further. Otherwise, we'll conclude.
Hi, we have another question that came in regarding the Symbol Master being available for download from the industry members. So we are working on that. We are planning to having that starting in March. And once it becomes available, it will be available on catnmsplan.com, and we'll make that available to you. And when it does become, we will, of course, announce it through the subscription service.
We have another question. As to how UAT for the participants are going, I'll give that to Cindy to answer.
We are continuing to work through it. You know, there have been some issues, as is to be expected in a project of this size. You know, we don't yet have them all resolved, but, you know, we are definitely making progress. We will be putting out a statement to the industry early next week.
Great. Thank you, Cindy. Next question is, when will THESIS be ready to start connectivity?
Thank you, Mike. So, yes, we are working on that. Information, of course, will become available. We'll be getting the registration process towards the end of this year and then connectivity in the early part of next year.
There's a question, do listed options include only listed equity options?
So all of the securities that are covered, options and equity, would be any NMS security. So any option listed on a U.S. options exchange and covered under the definition of an NMS security is in scope.
That would be equity and index options.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, great. Will there be a standard agreement provided for firms to use?
We are currently going through that process with the SROs. Sorry, this is Todd from Thesis Cat. We are going through that process with the SROs now, and yes, we do expect there to be a standard agreement for firms to use.
But the follow-up, should they reach out to Thesis soon, I think?
We will be reaching out to you shortly as we work with the SROs on coming up with the best process for that. Hi, we have one here about milestones between the specs and actual testing, which would take place in August. For example, UI, web interface, what have you. And yes, there are other milestones. As I mentioned, firstly, of course, the registration process, connectivity, as well as going through and having a session or several sessions about what does the, what we're calling the reporter portal, look like, feel like, and how will industry members being able to make use of it. So yes, that will be made available. We will provide more information. There are just no dates available at this time.
Another question has come in, if there are any updates on reporting fees for the industry. The short answer to that is no. The longer answer is that the SROs continue to work on a fee model. They're working internally. They'll be working with the SEC staff on that. We do not anticipate making any filings with the SEC on industry member fees or participant fees for that matter until after go live toward the end of this year or early next year. But they will be submitted to the commission and published for comment. Another question coming in was the process of additional interpretive guidance on a case-by-case basis, specific to various business models, if needed after the final tech spec on October 30th.
Sure, I'll take that one. So the process would be to reach out to the help desk with the interpretive question. That will be presented to the interp working group for consideration. The SROs would work with Thesis Cat, counsel to determine what the answer is. And as we just published, these additional FAQs would be published through an FAQ. If there is follow-up needed, we will, the help desk will provide the specific contact information to the SROs if we have questions about what the issue is. Also, we continue to get interpretive questions raised through the industry groups, FIF, STA, SIFMA. So we will continue to entertain any issues or questions coming through those. And, of course, any member could also reach out directly to their own SRO, who would then ensure that it gets to the interpretive working group under for all participants to consider.
Another question has come in. If an introducing firm opens a client account on two different clearing platforms because they clear equities with one firm and options with a different clearing firm, can there be two different FDIDs for the same investor?
So an FDID represents the account number, and there can be one and only one account number for a particular broker-dealer for a particular day, and we have guidance on the FDIDs about when that can or can't change depending on if there's changes with the account. So I think the short answer is no, you could not have two different FDIDs, one for equities and one for options, because the point of the FDID is to be able to track trading across equities and options across within a single broker-dealer. So we could not differentiate them between products.
Okay, that exhausts our questions. Haven't seen any new ones come in. Again, as I mentioned at the outset, the webinar as well as the questions and answers will be on the website, posted shortly after we conclude, certainly by some point tomorrow. Thank you all very much. We will keep you informed of progress. As Cindy mentioned, we'll be putting out a release early next week as we hit the go live. And as I was saying that, we have another question coming in. When the onboarding of industry members on CAT starts, when will the industry onboarding start and when will the reporting IDs be assigned?
Hi, this is Todd again. So we will begin the process of registration, I believe, towards the end of this year, around December. We'll begin the onboarding process to first start with registration, who you are, what phase you believe you're part of, collecting some pertinent information. Following that, we'll move into connectivity, what have you. So we'll begin it towards the end of this year and then moving in towards through next year. Was there another part to it?
If a clearing firm reports on behalf of an introducing firm, will the introducing firm have the ability to view this data via the CAT system, or will they be required to obtain this information from the clearing firm?
No, they will be able to view the information via the CAT system themselves, because it will be their data that they will have the compliance obligation for, even if it is being submitted on their behalf by a clearing firm, much like it works in OATS today. So they would absolutely be able to see their own data.
And again, Shelley, do we expect subsequent versions of the tech specs after October 31st?
We do not anticipate any material changes after October 30th. That is intended to be the final. I mean, there could always be clarifications, or if items need to, you know, be corrected if there were an error in it or something. But we do not expect any material changes after October 30th for Phase 2A and 2B.
Okay, there's one more question. Has CSIS CAT and POC pilot to prove the specs key linkages would work? Is the expensive as the industry kickoff, I guess, expensive to change as the industry kicks off their CAT build process?
That's fair. We are in the process of doing that today, as Cindy mentioned, with the participants themselves, to ensure that not only we can ingest and we can process, but we can follow these linkage keys and create the pertinent life cycles. As we go through the industry member specs and finalize those, we will go through a similar exercise.
Okay, again, thank you all very much. We'll be in touch with you, and we'll let you know when we schedule the next webinar. Have a good afternoon.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.